you guys. It's Pete here. Just wanted to set this up a little bit. This is interviews that I did on Sunday in Artist Alley and the New York Comic Con. It was a little crazy, so I just tried to grab some different people who were available. And these are four interviews that I did. I hope you enjoy them. I hope the audio comes out okay. And thank you guys so much for listening and supporting our show. It really means a lot to us. We don't underappreciate it at all. We really appreciate it. So thank you guys. Also, shout out to the dude Cam, who is from Canada, and he grabbed me and said, "Hey, I love your show. Punisher's awesome." So thanks, Jack dude from Canada. Thanks for listening. And also, if you guys got a free moment, reach out to Justin on Twitter and just let him know I said he sucks. All right, man. Hope everybody is good. Thank you so much. Enjoy these interviews at the New York Comic Con.
Hey, Pete LePage here at the New York Comic Con 2018. I am in Artist Alley, one of my favorite places to be. And I ran into somebody and they were like, "Hey, you've got to interview this amazing person. So please introduce yourself."
Hi, my name is Lila Sturgis. Under a different name in the past, I had a writing career doing books such as Jack of Fables, House of Mystery,
oh, nice.
JSA. If you want to know that name, you can look it up. I'm not going to say it here. But then I made a career move. I decided to change genders, get a new name, which is always a great way to go about doing business, completely change your brand. And now I have a whole new career doing new stuff. And the first new book that's coming out that has my new name on it is the new Lumberjanes graphic novel. Lumberjanes, The Infernal Compass, comes out on October 17th.
Congratulations. Well, congratulations on the new you and the new career move. That is fantastic.
Yes.
For people who don't know what Lumberjanes is, can you pitch us a little bit or explain
Absolutely.
To us? Absolutely.
Yeah. Lumberjanes is an all-ages series that takes place at a magical camp for girls. It focuses on five girls who live in the Roanoke cabin. It's extremely girl-friendly. It's extremely queer-friendly.
Nice.
There are queer girls. There's a trans girl, which I love.
Great.
And the story is beautiful and fun and sweet, and it really is wonderful for all ages. Kids love it. Adults love it. Grandmothers love it. You can't go wrong with Lumberjanes.
That's great, because sometimes a lot of people ask us, because they have comics they like, and then they recommend stuff for kids, so that's nice that this is all ages and also all-inclusive. Which
yes.
is important
yes.
to have that representation.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about what got you into comics. What was your first comic book that kind of like made you go to the comic book shop? Tell us a little bit of your origin story, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. When I was a kid, I didn't read comics. I grew up in a small town where there were no comics. And I was always just had the received wisdom that comics were just dumb, throwaway material for children. So I never read them. I didn't read them in high school. When I got to college, I met Chris Roberson, who some of you may know.
Oh,
we
yeah.
were best friends in college.
Aww.
He started me reading Sandman. He was like, "You have to read this." And I picked it up and I was like, "Well, this can't be comics. Comics is just people in underwear punching each other, and I'm too good for that. But this is something completely different." So Sandman completely changed the course of my life, because once I read that book, I realized, oh, this is a medium that you can do amazing things in, and I'd love to do amazing things in this medium.
Aww.
And that's what set me down the path.
That is fantastic. I love to hear that, of like somebody handing somebody another book and being like, "You have to read this." Someone did that with me with Why the Last Man, and I was completely blown away.
Oh, that's an amazing book.
Oh,
yeah, that's
yeah.
a good one to start off with.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that happens with Watchmen for a lot of people and stuff like that. But that's fantastic that it kind of, because people do, they put, comics in a box and say, "This is for kids," or "This is this separate thing," but it's so much bigger than that. So I'm glad you gave it a second chance.
Me too.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your process, like how you write, where you, kind of how you do that. Some of the questions that we get a lot of times is, I want to write comics, so I'm not sure how to go about it. Some people say write every day, but what is your process a little bit?
I don't write any day. I write when I feel like it and when I'm on a deadline. And then when I'm on a deadline, I write a lot more than when I feel like it.
Right.
But that's just my process. Some people do really well writing for a set amount of time every single day, and they need that structure. I really chafe at structure, so that's not me. So the advice I give to people is do what works best for you. You know, and if you're meant to be a writer, you will find time to write, however that works. If it's something that you must do, we always get the things that we must do. And so you have to make that a priority however you do it. When I write comics, the most important thing to me is structure. Comics are something that I think is very, very difficult to just start on page one and start writing. I like to know the full structure of the story I'm writing. I do a full page breakdown and outline, and then I move from that to script pages. I do beat sheets, page breakdowns, as much structure as I can have before I go into it. Knowing where you're going in comics is really, really helpful.
Awesome. Well, if you are going to tell one of our listeners some books that really you like that are on the shelves, that might not be yours but other people's, what would you recommend?
The two adult comics that I'm most into right now are Euthanauts by Teenie Howard, which is a new series from Black Crown that I think is just phenomenal. The art by Nick Robles, who's just knocking it out of the park. Nice. There's another book called The Wilds by Vita Ayala and Emily Pearson. That I forget who publishes that, but that's an amazing, beautiful book about a zombie apocalypse. But the zombies are beautiful and covered with flowers. It's amazing, and it's very queer, and it's very brown, and it's just a beautiful book to look at. On the kids' side, or the YA side, the book that I'm most excited about and that I keep pushing into people's hands is The Prince and the Dressmaker by Jen Wang. This is one of the most beautiful books I've ever seen. It's one of the most touching books I've ever seen.
Nice.
It really touches on ideas about gender presentation in a really unique and original way. And I recommend it to absolutely everyone.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to do that. What for you, like, as a writer, what's your favorite part about making comics? I know some people, it's like when they get a great idea, they get excited about it. Other people, it's like when they hear back from fans that a story really touched them. Some people just like seeing their name on the comic book. What's your favorite part?
My absolute favorite part always is when I get art in my inbox. And there's this magical moment of where I think, like, this was just some dumb words that I typed. And then some really talented person took those words and made them into these beautiful pictures in a way that I could never, ever, ever do. Yeah. And the fact that they were willing to sit there with my words and spend the time to make them into the art that they need to be in order to be, you know, really good is always sort of magical and mysterious to me and always thrills me.
That is fantastic. Well, definitely check out Lumberjanes, everybody. It was a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much. And, I hope the rest of the con is all right for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care, everybody. Hey, Pete LePage here, New York Comic Con 2018. I am in Artist Alley with none other than Greg Pak. Wow, sir, it's great to see you again. We got to get this out of the way. Somebody stole books from your
booth.
Yes,
can you believe it?
And I am heartbroken. Nerds, people of the Comic-Con community, you're better than this.
I really appreciate your moral outrage about this, Pete. It's heartening to know that people care.
Yeah, man.
The moral standards still apply.
This whole time we're talking, I'm keeping one eye on your comics. Because if somebody wants to try this again, I have no problem tackling them.
Oh. Yeah, yesterday morning I came in and, took my little sheet off the table, got ready for the day. And I looked over and there was a blank spot on the corner of my table. A little stack of Superman books were gone.
Oh, man.
Superman books, Pete.
Of all of them.
Of all of them.
I mean, there's no excuse, no matter what it is, but the Superman books makes it a little bit worse.
You know, I mean, if I had a bunch of copies of Abby Hoffman steal my book on the table and you stole those books, then, you know, that's okay.
Oh, man.
But super, the most lawful good of all heroes, that's whose books you
try steal. You try to put some good out into the world.
It's okay. They were comps.
I know the guy who wrote them, so. Oh, man. All right, so let's talk about what you got coming out.
Yeah, so a lot of things, actually. The thing I will plug the hardest right now is The Princess Who Saved Her Friends.
Awesome.
It's a new children's book. It's a sequel to the children's book we did a couple of years ago called The Princess Who Saved Herself.
Oh, wow.
Which is based on a song by Jonathan Coulton. So
cool.
We did a big Kickstarter for that book a few years ago, and it went through the roof, and we a lot of really wonderful people backed it. And for years, we've talked about doing a sequel, and we're finally doing it.
Awesome.
So it's drawn by Takeshi Miyazawa, same art team as before, with Jessica Killeen coloring and Simon Boland lettering. Jonathan and I are co-writing. It's about a girl who plays awesome rock and roll guitar. She's got a band. With a dragon and a giant bee and a little snake, and an evil queen who she's befriended. She befriended the queen in the previous story.
All right.
Turned an enemy into a friend. But in this book, the plot thickens because just because the evil queen's your friend now doesn't mean she stops being kind of mean, right?
Yeah.
So the queen. I'm just going to say it. She's a better musician than everybody else in the band. She's just better, and she's got higher standards. And so the dragon's not, he's not great. And he gets offbeat. The queen is mean. The dragon cries.
Oh, man.
And now the princess has a crisis on her hands.
Yeah, she does.
An ethical and moral and social crisis.
Yeah,
she has to figure out how to do this.
But also, I mean, I feel like that can happen with bands.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. I think it resonates deeply with Jonathan. He's mentioned this. Jonathan's a internet superstar musician.
Ooh.
And so he's the co-writer of this whole thing. And he joked about that a lot. That this is a real band problem. I love it just because it's a real kid problem. Like as a kid, making new friends and realizing that not all your friends are necessarily going to be nice to all your other friends. And,
yep.
I mean, and that's an adult problem, too, frankly.
Yeah, so it definitely is.
Learning how to manage those situations, I think, is really great fodder for a fun kids book.
I agree. Well, that is fantastic. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. So we're running a Kickstarter for that right now.
Okay.
Which runs until October 17.
And
so
where can people go to support that Kickstarter?
They can go to princesswhosaved.com, and that will take you right to the Kickstarter page.
Awesome. Can we talk about other things
as
well?
Yes, absolutely. No, that's the only thing we can talk about, Pete.
All right. Well, sometimes,
I do know. Yes. I'm also working on the new James Bond book for Dynamite.
Oh,
yes.
I did not know about this.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's called James Bond 007.
Okay.
Because 007.
Right, yeah.
But that comes out in November. Mark Lamming is drawing. And then I'm doing the new Firefly book for Boom, which is based on the Firefly Joss Whedon TV show.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yes.
It's pretty popular with a lot of people.
It is. People seem to dig it.
Yeah.
So both those books are a ton of fun. Dan McDade is drawing the Firefly book. I'm super proud of both those books. They're both going to press in the next couple of weeks, and I've been reading the ballooned art and everything, and I'm super excited about them. They're going to be a lot of fun.
Now, were you always a James Bond fan? Tell me a little bit about your...
Well, I grew up watching James Bond movies the same way we watched new Star Wars movies and new Raiders of the Lost Ark movies and all that.
Sure.
That was the kind of blockbuster
movie
thing we all went to as kids. And I never thought about, the possibility of doing anything in the James Bond world. But when the opportunity came, I started thinking about it. And I thought about Odd Job.
Yeah.
So I pitched.
Fan favorite, Odd Job.
Yeah. And my pitch was, let's make Odd Job really cool. Let's make Odd Job sexy.
Yeah. I love it.
So the story is, it's James Bond versus Odd Job, basically.
Oh, man.
They're rival secret agents. They're after the same target. And James Bond is this kind of ruthless professional. Like, he always gets his guy.
Right, yeah.
And he prides himself on that. He's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Oddjob is kind of fiery and passionate. He's hot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so they drive each other crazy.
Yeah.
They drive each other crazy. But it's just a huge amount of fun writing them. And Oddjob really is, I mean, he's, you know, this new Oddjob. His name is John Lee. And
cool.
And he's the way Mark is drawing him, he's just, you know, he's popping off the page. He's got so much verve and fun, you know.
Like, I'm excited about this team.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I gotta ask though, because I know people online are gonna ask me, who's your favorite James Bond?
Roger Moore.
Oh,
unapologetic.
Yeah, yes. All right.
I'm all
I like
about
a
Moore.
Hard stance on
that's
that.
That's right. That's right. I grew up with Roger Moore. Yeah, I mean, like he was the Bond that I saw when I was growing up, and I you know, that whole he's got that, you know, he's probably the kind of most winkiness of the Bonds, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's
he's,
true.
He's
that's
very,
true.
He's very dry and funny, yeah. And you know, and I'm a sucker for that. I mean, it's interestingly, the Bond that I'm writing is more hardcore. You
yeah,
know what I mean, because the Bond
more
I'm
of
writing
a Daniel Craig, if you will,
a little bit. Yeah, I mean, because the comics are they are based on the books. They're not based on the movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the licenses with the Fleming estate, And the Bond in the books is he's ruthless, you know what I mean? So so this borrows more from that, but we've got that fun in here too, you know what I mean? So but yeah, Roger Moore was always my favorite Bond.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, you always bring fun to your writing. That's one of the things that I love about you. Real quick before we go, I've been asking everybody at the con today what their favorite part about writing is. Some people say it's like when they get their work back and they see the art for the first time. Other people say it's a fan interaction.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
you, what's your favorite part?
Wow, my very favorite part is getting the alert of the direct deposit. It's really it's really gratifying. You know, like
Greg Pak keeping it 100 right now. I love it.
You know, I turn off notifications for most things, but I like to keep that notification on.
Oh,
get that little
man.
Ding. I kid, kind of. Kind
well,
of.
No.
I am kidding. I mean, getting paid is huge. I mean, getting paid to do something you love and to
yeah.
tell stories
I
is
mean,
amazing.
That's the goal.
I marvel over that. To coin a pun, a little pun for you. No, I mean, it's you know, I am ridiculously fortunate. I'm very aware of that and very grateful to everybody who buys these books because, you know, I mean, there's this myth of the starving writer and, like, you know, writers live in garrets and they produce brilliant things.
Yep.
No, writers who can't feed themselves and can't feed their families don't produce as much as they should, and it's incredibly hard. And suffering is not helpful to making art. Suffering hinders you from making art. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So the fact that people support these books and everybody who works on them can get paid is enormous. And thank you very much for that. But yeah, I mean, you know, like I've told stories all my life because I'm a liar. I've written stories since I was a little kid. Just something I've always wanted to do. And any time I write something that resonates with somebody, it's the whole world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think some of the most gratifying things are when little kids come up with books I've written. You know, I'm not happy when little kids come up with, like, you know, Weapon H, where people are getting their heads cut off with claws. They
well,
don't.
You're
do,
not.
No, no.
Because that would
not,
make me.
Oh yeah, you'd like that.
I would love that.
Actually, that's
because that was me as a kid.
No, but you know, like I've written these kids' books and the idea that kids, because I remember being a kid and being totally blown away by, you know, and immersed in certain books and certain stories. And everyone, you know, I meet these kids from time to time who have that experience with stuff I've written, and it's incredibly gratifying. It's ridiculously gratifying.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
you've got a group of kids that
I
want
do
you
have
to
some
sign
kids here.
Stuff, and I don't want to keep you too long.
Exactly.
I could talk to you forever. You're an amazing person.
Pete, they might also have money, so should go
see what they're...
I should go talk to them.
All right, well, I can't wait to read all your stuff, and thank you for telling stories. It is a privilege to read your stuff, sir.
Dude, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.
Hey, Pete LePage here. I'm at the New York Comic Con 2018 in Artist Alley, and I'm back for more Zubhub. I saw you yesterday, and you were like, I have an announcement, but I can't tell you yet. I am back. Please, give us the news.
Nice. It is Sunday at New York Comic Con, so I sound like I gargle toxic waste. But that is just standard operating procedure for a four-day show.
That's how it works.
So I don't normally sound this smoky, but we'll roll.
Easy listening tunes.
Easy listening tunes. Oh, my God. So, we had a crazy day yesterday. It was great.
Congrats.
Yeah, they did the Marvel Next Big Thing panel in the main stage. So there was like hundreds and hundreds of people, and we got them all excited and hyped up. So two big announcements. The first one is that Avengers Weekly is coming back. We did the No Surrender story earlier this year that crossed over with the release of Infinity War. And I was like, my God, I get to write the Avengers, let alone while a movie's coming out. And now we're doing it again. We're doing it again. So we've got a new story called Avengers No Road Home. It's going to be coming out starting in February. 10 issues, 10 weeks. Mark Wade, Al Ewing, and I, the art team of Paco Medina and Sean Isaacs.
Wow.
And it is gorgeous and unbelievably excited. Can't wait for people to read it.
Can you give us anything of what you're going to focus on, who you're going to have on your team or any of that? I don't want to get you in trouble.
Some of the characters that were on the covers that have been revealed are all I can sort of say. So
okay.
I can say that Hercules is going to be in there.
Yes.
We've got Scarlet Witch. We've got Spectrum. And Rocket Raccoon will be riding up as well. So we got some really fun mixture of characters. But there's others as well that haven't been revealed.
Okay.
Although the format is similar to No Surrender, it's a totally different self-contained story. You don't need to have read the previous one. Of course, I prefer that you do.
Please do. Yeah,
please.
Sure.
Now available in a beautiful hardcover. No Road Home is going to be a wonderful self-contained 10-part story. It's going to be wild and crazy. Big reveals and lasting kind of ripples off in the Marvel Universe.
Now, is there some characters you're extremely happy to get your hands on?
Unbelievably happy, yeah. There's a midpoint story reveal. So in No Surrender, we brought back the Hulk.
Right.
And that was like a big deal. We have an equally crazy thing happening in the middle of the this story that is going to hopefully knock people sideways.
All right.
Yeah. So
did
I'm
you
super
just reveal it was the thing?
No. Just a thing, not the thing.
Okay.
Not right. Benjamin J. Grimm. No.
Okay.
It's going to be great. We're having so much fun. And like last time, we have been working far ahead so that we know the book will be on time so the art teams can make it
weekly.
Beautiful. Yeah. So we're already in the final stages. So I've been keeping this a secret for like 7 months.
Wow, man.
We're already working on the last two issues.
Wow, oh, that's great.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't come out till February. So we are super happy. Everyone on the team's excited. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Can't
wait to read that. While we got you here, let's plug some other stuff. What else can you tell us?
So the other announcement is Champions is getting a new number one in January. And the team... My art team on Wayward, my creator-owned series in Image, is now basically becoming the Champions team.
I'm just adopting
them right into the Marvel family. Stephen Cummings has done such a phenomenal job with our teenagers in Wayward. He wrapped up the last issue, and he's rolling right over onto Champions. The Champions concept is going to be bigger than ever. Kamala Khan is basically calling on all the teen heroes in the world and saying, we're going to make the world a better place. We're going to protect and we're going to save and we're going to improve things. And she puts out the call and she gets an insane response.
Right.
I'm not trying to... The Champions will be legion. Let's put it that way. There are a lot of teen heroes we're able to pull out of obscurity, and I think we're going to have a ton of fun with it. We've been doing a lot of crazy stuff in the book, and can't wait for people to read it.
That's fantastic. Now, I got to say, it was a real honor to talk with you in PhillyCon. Things got a little emotional.
It did.
And it was really touching to see somebody who writes with a passion and is trying to say things, even though in this time saying things can get you in trouble.
Right.
So, like, it's nice to know that you're doing stuff like that.
Thanks.
You know?
The fact that we can do a story for a big corporate brand, but also still make it personal, but also make it emotional, I feel is, it matters. Like, you want to be able to do stuff that you as a reader would love, that you as a writer are passionate about, that this is not a mechanical thing. We're making stories, and hopefully inspiring people and keeping ourselves, you know, into it and inspired. Like, if it becomes a cold mechanical process, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where, for me, you know, regardless of how crazy real life gets, comics has always been that thing that I can hold up that's better, you know?
Yeah, and it feels really amazing to be even a small part of this whole crazy thing.
Yeah.
You know, the social media discourse can get so crazy and toxic at times, and then when I go to a convention and I see people in person, and this convention family that you kind of build up, the people you see on the road year after year, and all of us still plugging away and our careers going through these amazing evolutions, it feels great. I love being part of comics. I love having friends here in comics. Like, I tell my wife, we have a friend like in every major city in the world now.
That's
awesome.
We have
people we've worked with and people we've traveled with, and I don't want to ever take that for granted, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, man, I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to sit down with us. Oh, wait, before we go, I did want to ask you.
Sure.
I was talking earlier about this. What is your favorite part of writing? Like, is it seeing your name on the finished product? Is it when you get the art back and you see your crazy words brought into real, like, comic pages? Like, what is it to you that...
Honestly, it's like, yeah, the collaboration that in the end... We as a creative team have made something that I as an individual couldn't have done on my own, that we came together to build this thing, and it's better for it. You know, the editors and the letterer and the colorist and the line artist and myself, like, everyone has a part to play, and that end result is a little bit of all of us. And if we do it right, it's something we're all really proud of.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for taking the time.
My pleasure.
See you.
All right, Pete LePage here at New York Comic Con, Artist Alley 2018. I'm with one of my all-time favorites, David Peterson of Mouse Guard. I got to tell you, first I got to thank you for an amazing book, but also I've got to thank you for making me look good, because every time someone recommends, like, oh, I have a daughter or I have a son and I want to give him something and I don't know if they're really into superheroes, what should I do? I say Mouse Guard, and every time that person comes back to me and goes, oh, you made me a hero.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So I've read pretty much all of them. It looks like Alphabet Book is the only one I don't have. So please tell me what you're working on. Tell us what we should be looking forward to.
The Alphabet Book came out last year. We decided, my wife decided, in her wisdom, that we should have an Alphabet Book. It was something that I had even kind of fought against for years, thinking that, Mouse Guard's an all-ages book, and I didn't want it to get all of a sudden pigeonholed as a kid's book. It's kind of hard to fight that anyways with kind of the look of Mouse Guard, that some people don't take it seriously as a true all-ages book on first glance. I thought the Alphabet Book would be a disservice, but she persisted, and thank God, because it was the right move. Mouse Guard has been out long enough now that my initial fans who started with the series, who were kids or tweens, when the series started, are now old enough that they're having their own children.
Wow. That's got to
so
be crazy.
So it's exactly right to do for marketing, and it was the right kind of thing to do, just to do something that felt good and in-world. I got a wonderful illustrator, Serena Malion, to do the illustrations. We wanted something that felt like an artifact from the world of Mouse Guard, and if I drew it, it would feel like it was just another Mouse Guard book as opposed to an artifact.
Right, right.
So we had her do that. And that's the most recent thing in terms of new content. I had started working on what would be the fourth book of the Mouse Guard series called The Weasel War of 1149.
Nice.
And I started working on that, but about a year ago I became the full-time caregiver for my mom.
Oh, man.
So that's put kind of everything on hold, unfortunately. But so far fans have been amazing that... when I say that, they're like, family first, we'll wait.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's just awesome that, you
How's
know.
How's your mom doing? Is she okay?
It's one of those things that you don't get better from. So,
oh, no, man.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
so
just,
sorry.
Yeah, thank you. It's just about making her comfortable and taking care of her. And,
oh, man,
and also maybe trying to figure out some other long-term solution. But, yeah.
It's
that's got to be tough, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, yes. That is great that fans are so supportive.
Yes.
And like that.
Yeah,
is,
they've been amazing.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Yeah. I look forward to getting back to the story, too, because it's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a big one.
It sounds phenomenal. I mean, I got to say, Black Axe is my favorite.
Thank you.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little bit? I don't want you to spoil anything, but.
Yeah, well, so. It was when I started working on it, it was going slow. Like, even before the mom stuff, people would go, like, when's the next book? When's the next book? And I'd go, I'm starting on it, but it's still going to take forever because not only have I gotten slower as the years have gone on, but, Weasel War takes place at a time where Dark Heather, the home of the weasels, which I showed in winter.
And
I cheated when I showed it in winter because it's abandoned. So. And it wasn't lit. You know, they only had little lanterns and torchlights. The mice did. So sure. I got to hide all of it in shadow. I got to just imply the architecture. Yeah, now the lights are on, and it's full of weasels.
Oh, man.
So it's like some of the most detailed architecture I've ever had to draw for Mouse Guard. I have to draw every inch of it and hundreds of weasels. And I remember when I was working on a panel pretty early on. It's a big panel. It's kind of a splash panel. And I sent it. I sent a work in progress to my editor. He's like, you're just showing off now. With the number. Like, you didn't need to put that many weasels in that panel. And I'm like, I feel like I did. I feel like that's the point of this series.
Especially if something's taking a little bit. When we finally get it, if we see the extra detail and time that put it, that's going to be such a huge payoff.
I hope so.
Well, man, I cannot wait for that. That is fantastic. I always tell people when they go to a con, Artist Alley, look for you because this is an amazing booth. And your art is unbelievable.
Thank you. I think the bigger message is there's stuff like my book, not just my book, but there's stuff like my book all through. Anytime you're at a convention, browse Artist Alley, browse Small Press, talk to even some of the big publishing booths. They have books for every kind of audience. So whether it's you're looking for stuff for your reluctant reader kids, you're looking for something for the teenager who's a in high school, you're looking for something for the college kid. You're looking something for Aunt Bertha, who's never read a comic ever. I guarantee there is something out there for her. Here's the thing that always blows people's minds. There are nonfiction comics. There are comics that are just about historical fact, like watching an A&E or history special. So I appreciate the Mouse Guard shout-out, but I want to make sure everybody knows there are currently, right now, comics for every audience, every age, every type of reader.
You are correct, and thank you for taking the time to do that. I've been asking everybody today, what is your favorite part about making a comic? Is it when you get the new idea? Is it talking to people at cons? Is it just seeing something go from words on a page to actually turned into art? Like, what is your favorite part about it?
It is during the creation process. Yeah. I mean, obviously, once it's done, that feels good. Uh-huh. Once it's published and people can read it and I'm getting feedback, that feels really good. But my favorite part is, you can only hold so many ideas in your head for so long. And so you might have an idea of what the overall shape of this thing is going to be, what it's going to really look like when it's done, or how it's all going to piece together. And it's like you're designing a really complex machine, an engine or something like that. Like you can think about how the pistons might move or how but you have these broader ideas. You're not down counting screws mentally, or most of us aren't. And even when you write up a script or start thumbnailing, it's still not all the intricacies of how this little part fits into that little part when it comes to the art and the storytelling and the color palette and the mood and the tone and the font of the... There's a part, and it's for me when I'm inking and I'm getting pages done in ink, that it's all starting to come together. And not only am I seeing how the stuff that I already did is working, but I can start making the next several pages better.
Oh, wow.
because now I know where I'm going. I have a really clear idea of where I'm going, and I don't have to worry about the huge picture stuff. I can start focusing on making that machine really hum.
That is awesome.
All the moving parts sync up.
That's cool. I get to see a little bit of your process there. That is pretty neat. Well, I can't wait for it to come out. I wish you the best with everything with your mom.
Thank you.
And, yeah, man, please keep up the amazing work, and I can't wait, man. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Take care.